You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Dr. Melody Fox right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza. Unfortunately, my co-host, psychologist Dr. Melody Fox, will not be with us today, but she should be back next week. And know that each week we will bring you guests that can entertain, inspire, and educate you while bringing answers and options to raising children today in our constantly changing future. We will address issues such as locating a runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, and many great ways to keep your family mentally, physically, and spiritually healthy. Having over 30 years' experience working with families in crisis, I've been fortunate to meet and work with some of the top professionals in many of the helping fields, all who are working to make this world a better place for all of us. Now, we can bring you some of these incredibly talented and caring people each week as we bring you Answers for the Family. Today, we're going to be talking about chiropractic care as a vehicle for wellness on many levels. Now, before I bring you our guest, I want to thank everybody for the questions. We got some listener questions that came in, both for our guest, but we also got one directed towards me. So I want to touch on that a little bit. And this one reads, it says, I am reading more and more about human trafficking rings being allowed to kidnap young women in the U.S. and Europe. It is as though law enforcement has decided to look the other way when it comes to the topic of drugs and human trafficking. I am appalled that dealers are standing on the street corners in plain sight and young girls are being used for prostitution so blatantly. Can you give me your opinion on this? Well, again, I mean, thank you for the question. I think the first thing that I want to address on that is that actually governments around the world have enacted new laws to help the fight against human trafficking, and major cities are setting up task forces that are trained in how to handle these cases. Now, granted, that doesn't mean that it's going away, but it really isn't the type of thing as it once was, to where there really was sort of a kind of look the other way type of situation. Now, I noticed you also mentioned, you know, that you're hearing about it happening in the U.S. and Europe. Yes, it is happening in the U.S. and Europe, and I'm glad that you're recognizing that it is, because, you know, for 30 years I've been involved in trying to break up these rings, and many years ago people would say, well, isn't that something that just happens in third world countries? And they really didn't want to address the fact that it really does happen here. And unfortunately, as Americans, we're more the buyers than we are the sellers. So as unfortunate as that is, I'm afraid that's the facts. So yes, I am glad that people are bringing these questions in. Yes, I'm glad that it's in the news, and I'm glad that governments are now doing something about it. They're giving us laws that we can use to help fight this. So, you know, if there's any other information that you want, I want you also to know that there's some really great nonprofit agencies that are focusing on helping the victims of this horrible crime. And that's important, too, because the first step is being able to get them off the streets, being able to get them out of the hands of the traffickers. But after that, unfortunately, many go right back into the same lifestyle because they don't know anything different. So there are great nonprofits, and they're making sure that the victims are retrained in a new job so that they really are able to not only get out of that industry, but stay out of that industry. Now, if you want to get more information on that, you can go to one of our websites, which is www.ihttf.com. That is for the International Human Trafficking Task Force. So again, thank you for that. And if there's a fight that you want to get involved in, there are plenty of nonprofits that you can join up with and help that fight, because it certainly is a worthy one. So now back to our topic for the day. Again, it is chiropractic care as a vehicle for wellness on many levels. Our guest today is Dr. Thomas Duddy. He's a sports care chiropractor and owner of Sports Care Center, located inside of 24-Hour Fitness in Huntington Beach, California. Dr. Duddy has licenses in both chiropractic and physical therapy and has been certified as a chiropractic sports practitioner, certified strength and conditioning specialist, and a qualified medical evaluator for the California Workers' Compensation System. Dr. Duddy has treated many of the world's best motocross and supercross racers, world and national champion bicycle motocross, which is BMX racers, national championship road racers, and an Olympic gold medalist in badminton, as well as an Olympic medalist in water polo, and many top NBA players. He has also been successful in treating the serious weekend warrior, which is the category most of us fall in. Tom, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Alan, thank you so much, and thanks for having me in your show.
All right. Now, let's jump right in it. I mean, I'm a promoter of chiropractic because I am someone who has benefited from it. The fact that I've benefited from it means that I can see the value. But I don't know that that message has really been gotten out there to everybody. So to start off with, I mean, let's talk about what chiropractic is and what it isn't.
Well, chiropractic, it's a form of healthcare that eliminates pain in the body by restoring the alignment and the normal function of the spinal column, which houses the nervous system. Okay, the nerves exit the spine at every level, go to different organs. Most people seek out chiropractic care because they have pain. And if chiropractic can move a vertebra that's gone out of position, pressing on a nerve that causes pain, if we can relieve that pressure off that nerve, the person functions better.
Okay, well, now you mentioned vertebrae. How do these vertebrae move out of position that we need to put them back in?
Yeah, the easiest explanation for that is stress on our body. And we're always under stress, whether we're sitting, standing, walking, which I categorize as mechanical stress. Obviously, there's more mechanical stresses if we're working in the yard, picking up heavy objects in an incorrect manner. But then there's also the stresses on our body that we really don't plug into as much as emotional stresses. The job, the family, money troubles, which seems to be on the rise lately. But the mechanical stresses and the emotional stresses add up, and it's like the perfect storm on the body, and the vertebrae will move out of position.
Well, and I know I'm one that got into it because I was really active athletically. So, you know, I would go out. I was the weekend warrior, you know, or, you know, playing softball a couple nights a week, and I would go out and just throw my body at everything. And then I'd find myself coming in, you know, to you, you know, to go, okay, now fix this, you know. And that's what I think most people think it is. But I'd like you to address, and now as I'm not as active and out there beating my body up as much, the stressors that come from just sitting at a computer all day and typing and putting our body in different positions, or the kids now that are constantly texting or playing games. What kind of stressors is that putting on our body, and how can we protect ourselves from it?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's something I get on a daily and weekly basis. People come in, they're suffering from neck pain or lower back pain, and they're arguing that they haven't done anything. And the anything that they're talking about is something big, like lifting something heavy, but they disregard the fact that they just sat in front of their computer for 8 hours that day, or driven in traffic, okay, which fall under the category of the mechanical stresses. In addition, while they're sitting on that computer, they might have a deadline that they're working on, which would go under the emotional stress. So those two adding up, and it's like the perfect storm. You get that same person, and they want to go out and play softball at a high level on the weekends. They've been deconditioned throughout the week, 40 hours a week in front of their desk, and then on the weekend they want to get after it, and there's another mechanical stress on the body, and it's the perfect storm for pain. The kids these days, now they're plugged in with the social media. They're texting, they've got their Facebook account, and they're on their phone continuously. I mean, I have parents coming in saying that their kids are texting thousands of times a week or a month in a posture where they're holding their phone in front of them with their head cranked down, and they're doing it over and over and over all day long. Unfortunately, it's at a time in their body's development where that can be something that can be detrimental over the long term.
Absolutely. Now, what can they do? In other words, I mean, who can really benefit? I mean, at what age can we start working with these kids so that they can not have that become something that, you know, now their whole body becomes crouched over once they get to be my age?
Well, now that you're in your 30s, Alan, you've really got to...
Thank you. What, God, I got to pay him for this now.
I'm lucky enough where the age range in my office right now ranges from 3 weeks old, an infant, all the way to 92 years old. Now, the 92-year-old gentleman that comes in not because he has pain so much as that it helps his golf game, and he wants to make sure that he keeps a low handicap. The couple that brings in their three-week-old child was breastfeeding the baby. The mother was breastfeeding the baby, and the baby was having colic. And the pediatrician's best answer was, "Oh, it's just a phase. They'll get over it." And the mother got tired of having to clean up every time she'd breastfeed. And she'd been a patient. She asked me if that would help. And we did two adjustments on the child's middle back. While the mother was laying on her back, we had the baby face down and adjusted the baby's middle back, which those nerves that come off the area of the spine go to the stomach, small intestine, and large intestine. And by freeing up those nerves, which may have been caused by the baby being in the mother or through the birth trauma, the bones go out of position. And once we relieve the pressure off those nerves, the baby's not having colic or throwing up anymore.
See, that's phenomenal. And I don't know that, at least I wouldn't have thought that you could manipulate a three-week-old, you know, and get that type of result. So I think that's phenomenal. While you were talking, I'm sorry, there's a burning question I think that every golfer out there was thinking when you said that, and that is, can the 92-year-old guy shoot his age?
Well, the good thing is every year he gets older, it's not as hard to shoot his age. But I always joke around with the golfers, and you know, any way you can motivate the people to take care of themselves is I always tease the people, once they've been adjusted, it'll add 20 yards to their drive. The savvy golfers will say, as long as it stays down the middle of the fairway.
Now, how about in a way in which it affects, you know, a long-term growth? So starting with, you know, a child, like you said, at 3 weeks, but, you know, starting at any younger age while you're still growing, what are the benefits that can come of that?
The health benefits have been shown over time, studying people who've been adjusted on a regular basis throughout their life versus people who don't. And the unquantifiable part of chiropractic is the frequency of people getting sick. When the spine's aligned, there's less stress on the body. The body doesn't have to put out as much muscular energy to hold the vertebrae in place. Therefore, it has more energy to fight the fight for immunity. And so a lot of people who've been under care say that if they've dropped off care for a month, 2 months, 3 months, they notice themselves being sick a little more often. Okay, so that's the standpoint which chiropractic champions that people are going to function better and be healthier. But most people say in terms of, gosh, I've been under care my whole life and I've had really low incidence of back pain or headaches or neck pain. And from a standpoint of things that you can look at on a study like an X-ray or an MRI, people that get adjusted throughout their life have a healthier spine, less degeneration, less disc disease, and less arthritis.
Absolutely. And I know that again, I can personally you know, vouch for that, because I know that when I've gone in and I've had like an allergy or something like that, so I've been a little bit stuffed up, and I can get adjusted, and all of a sudden it's as if everything drained. So whatever it was that I was allergic to at that point, it's as if it's cleared it up, or maybe you can answer it better. Things have straightened out enough to the point that now either I'm firing on all cylinders, or it's draining properly, or what is it specifically that's happening that I feel better?
Yeah, the nerves that come off the spine, not only do they go to an area, like when people have sciatica, they say they have leg pain. Obviously, the nerves that go to the skin or the area are being pinched, so the pain message is saying that, okay, my leg's hurting. But part of the nerves also go to different structures of the body inside. The machinery of the body is the lungs, the liver, the stomach, the spleen, the sinuses as well, from the upper cervical area. So if you can clear up the nerve energy going to that structure is going to function better. It's almost like I kind of tell patients in a simplified manner, it's like doing a defrag on your nervous system like you would on your computer.
We're clearing out some of the stuff that we don't need.
Some of the clutter.
And opening things up for clear passage. I like that.
Yeah. And unfortunately, we're barraged on TV by, oh, if you have a sinus issue, just go to your, you know, local drugstore and you can find a sinus remedy over the counter. And unfortunately, that's where most people go. From a standpoint of population, about 8% of the population at any one time is under chiropractic care. And, you know, we're barraged on a daily basis by the medical establishment on TV, you know, promoting drugs and this and that. And that's where most people get their information, either on radio or TV.
Well, and that's a good thing to bring up now, which is, I mean, how does chiropractic care differ from traditional medicine as far as their approach to patient care?
Well, traditional medicine just wants to eliminate the symptom. You know, if you have a fever, take something that's going to break the fever. You have pain, let's take something, take the pain away via medication. But the body's feedback system is such that if you're sitting on something sharp, you want to get off that versus just taking a pain medication that allows you to stay on that sharp object, maybe causing more tissue damage. Chiropractic looks to relieve the effects that are causing the pain or causing the end result. And unfortunately, it's a slower process to clear that up. So people wanting the quick fix will go the medicine route. Unfortunately, with chiropractic, it takes a little bit of time to get that pinched nerve, you know, freed up. If we can do that over time, the body heals and functions much better in the end. Short term, the medicine has the advantage over us, and people want to go to that.
Right. And everybody knows we are in a microwave society. Everybody wants it now.
Yeah. I haven't had one person come in the office say they are getting better way faster than they thought.
You know, I was thinking of something while you were talking, and just from a marketing standpoint, is it would seem like the entire chiropractic association or should get together and take one town and you know, one small town that's sort of separate from everywhere else and give it like free chiropractic. You can live in this town as long as everybody starts from, you know, from age 3 or something like that, getting adjusted, and then, you know, 25 years from now be able to have this incredible you know, statistic of, you know, compare this town now to any other town around there where they're eating the same food and they're drinking the same water and they're doing all of these things the same, and yet why is it that this town had much less, you know, need for medical care?
Correct. And a lot of studies have been undergone already that show, just from a population standpoint, of people who've been adjusted throughout their life. So instead of taking a town that says, okay, we're going to have less stress, better nutrition, and chiropractic care, let's see how these people stack up against the regular population. We can take the people from the studies of populations of people that get adjusted and people that don't, people that plug into chiropractic on a regular basis and those who don't as well, and see how they are healthy or not healthy, and also take x-rays, see if the chiropractic care people have had less disc disease, less arthritis, versus the people who don't get adjusted. By the same token, on the other hand, with traditional medicine, we have people who get their child's immunizations in the early stages of their life. That population of children have a higher incidence of things like autism versus countries that don't immunize their children, they have a lot lower incidence of that. And this is something the medical community doesn't really want to have out there.
That, and actually, that's, when you said that, I was a little shocked for a moment. I didn't know that one. And I like to think that I try to stay up on that. I didn't realize that there was a higher incidence of autism, and they're now tying this, or that they can show that it has something to do with which type of immunization, or just immunization as a whole.
The typical childhood immunizations, you know, diphtheria, pertussis, yeah, mumps. And the populations of kids, they look, okay, these kids got immunized, these ones didn't. And these are the ones that are having a higher incidence of autism. Not saying that autism doesn't occur across the board, but just the higher frequency in those who have had the immunizations. The other thing is that when we had the big, what was it, the piggy flu that came by, the NH01 or whatever they called it, they had actually immunizations for that you can get the vaccination, and you could pick the mercury-free version or the mercury version, which is something that you don't want in your body anyway. So there's already a toxin in there just by the fact that there is mercury.
What's the logic in that?
That I don't know. I don't know how they put that together, and that they say, okay, mercury needs to happen because it helps with this chemical reaction or whatever goes on. But by the same token, I always try to dissuade my patients from having the yearly vaccination or the flu shot, just because I believe that if you take care of your body, you get enough rest, get the right nutrition, and take care of yourself, your body has everything it needs to fight the flu. It doesn't need anything else. I had one lady came in last year, she had the flu shot, and she missed 3 days of work. Her whole point in getting the shot was so she couldn't or wouldn't miss work.
Right. And I think what a lot of people don't know is most of these shots is giving you a little bit of that particular illness so that your body will build up an immune system to it. And I've heard the same thing from people that have said when they've gotten the flu shot, they got the flu. Well, they are giving you the flu. So if your immune system is really, really weak, you're very possibly causing yourself to get it.
Correct. That's 100% correct. And that people do have a low level of that symptom, you know, a bit of the fever, you know, a little bit of night sweats, or, you know, going from hot and cold, because their body is ramping up trying to fight that bug that just got introduced to your body. And the unfortunate thing, too, with the yearly flu vaccinations is that they're really kind of guessing as to what the next thing is. The epidemiologists get together and they try to decide, okay, we think that this is the brand of bug that's coming this time, so that's what we're going to build our flu shot for. If they guess correctly, then they might have a good chance of helping some people, especially people who are compromised in the immune system, not necessarily like HIV individuals, but older people. I'm not saying that the flu shot is bad for everybody, but I think it's overutilized right now. But if they guess correctly, then the flu shot will help. But if they guess incorrectly, everybody's getting these flu shots, it's not going to do a thing.
Well, but they still get paid. So now let's talk a little bit more about what some of the other things that that chiropractic can be used for. I mean, what are some of the other issues you can treat rather than just injuries?
Yeah, a lot of times people come in and they think chiropractic is just a back pain, neck pain, okay? They don't think that it's going to help with their tendonitis in their elbow or their plantar fasciitis because they're a runner or a knee injury. But chiropractic is, you know, the chiropractors are trained in chiropractic school for a wide range of injuries, and they're taught biomechanics, anatomy, physiology of all the joints in the body, so we can treat a wide range of injuries, ranging from the plantar fasciitis, the patellar maltracking problems, overuse injuries such as running, you get a lot of tendonitis in the knees and hip, as well as the tendonitis from overusing the keyboard, and you get the carpal tunnel. And unfortunately, a lot of people go to the surgical route of treating the carpal tunnel when actually it can be something that's treated conservatively, which is something I think everybody should plug into first rather than jumping on the surgical bandwagon.
Yeah, and as an investigator, I did a lot of work, workers' comp type investigations, and I noticed that carpal tunnel was on the rise. So I think primarily because of data input, you know, with computers and stuff. But I think now if you add texting and you add all the other ways in which we communicate, I can see carpal tunnel being a huge problem.
Huge, yeah. And with 8 hours a day, 5 days a week in front of the computer, in addition to any computing they do at home on their personal time and texting however many times during the day, yeah, the hands get a lot of use that way. And it's a subtle incident, if you can think of each keystroke, but added up over time, and it adds up to kind of a tendonitis, nerve entrapment type of issue.
Now, taking that in itself, what are some of the things that people can do, or what can you do as a chiropractor that can, in other words, I'm trying to think about how we adjust our hand or our wrist. I mean, most of us that think of chiropractic, or most people that do, they think about the back and the neck. So what are the things that can be done to the hands that can maybe either relieve them from pain or maybe keep them from actually having the problems that they're having?
Right. What I try to instill in my patients is that if you're sitting in front of the computer for 8 hours a day, think about doing frequent breaks away from your workstation. If you can get up and, you know, just move around for 10 seconds twice or three times an hour just to get out of that position. If you can look at how somebody is sitting in front of a computer 8 hours a day in a static position, no muscles really are working except those muscles that are holding tight to hold our posture, and then our hands are working just a little bit. If we can move around, stretch our joints, I always tell people to drink a lot of water, because two things happen. They're well hydrated and they have to get up to make a pit stop. So that helps them get out of their chair a little bit. But also from a standpoint of moving when they're not working, you know, exercising, yoga, just taking a walk around their block, something to circulate something that's been static for 8 hours that day.
Now, what about, and I remember at one time, you know, when my hands were starting to bother me when I was doing more of that type of work, was grabbing something like, you know, a squishy ball type of thing and just squeezing it with one hand while I was reading something or whatever, just so that the hand is doing something different.
Correct. And that goes a long way. It's that whole motion thing. If you can move the hands out of that static position, being in front of the keyboard or on the mouse, that goes a long way in getting nourishment into the tissues. When you move, your body forces the bad stuff out of the area and good, fresh, healing blood and fluid into the area, so the body gets nourished. There's a saying in sports medicine that goes that motion is lotion. So the more you move, the more you get lubricated.
That's great. I like that. And I would hope that happens with the knees, too, because I think as we get a little older, the knees seem to creak a little bit.
So you can't be a cat burglar.
That's right. Yeah, I have to stick with my day job. Well, you know what? We're going to take a break. And again, for anybody, if you would like, while we take a break, check out Dr. Duddy's website. It's www.drduddey.com. And he also has additional information on there that talks a little bit more about some of the benefits of chiropractic. So again, everybody, stay with us, and we will be right back.
Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shields specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you.
And we're back. We are talking with Dr. Thomas Duddy, sports care chiropractor. And we are really talking about some of the different ways in which chiropractic is used. I think that the population generally thinks that, you know, if you go out and you play too hard over the weekend and you're sore on Monday morning, okay, I guess I go see the chiropractor. But it's a lot more than that, and which is one of the reasons why I wanted Tom on here, because I've been able to benefit from it. My kids have been able to benefit from it. So I just wanted everybody to see that there really is a lot more. And speaking of that, Tom, I mean, when should someone visit a chiropractor other than just that Monday morning soreness?
We see a lot of people on Monday mornings because of the good weekend. By the same token, somebody's going to play golf on Saturday. We usually see them on Friday beforehand because they want to have a good weekend. But in reality, everybody should be adjusted on a regular basis, almost like going to your dentist for a regular checkup on your teeth. People go to the dentist usually about once every 6 months to make sure that everything's staying in line. They do a deep cleaning and make sure everything's taken care of. From the same standpoint, chiropractic should be viewed the same way. If we can treat people on a regular basis and prevent problems from happening, they don't get into their 40s, 50s, or beyond and say, I just found out I have a disc problem or I have arthritis in my back. If we can align that spine and make sure that the biomechanical stresses aren't causing degeneration, then people are going to function better throughout their life. So a regular basis, ranging anywhere between once a week, which I get adjusted once a week, all the way down to about once a month, which is usually like the minimum frequency. I always tell people it's like the 3,000-mile oil change.
Yeah, and that's what I tell my kids and stuff too, is, you know, I'm setting an appointment. They go, what for, Dad? Are you hurt? And I go, no, just maintenance.
Yeah. And unfortunately, the nature of the beast is reactive rather than being proactive. And you try to convince people that being proactive is going to prevent you from losing 2 or 3 days from work because you can't get out of bed, you know, because your back hurts so much, or your productivity at work is so diminished because you can't move around, especially jobs that are more physical, people who actually have to lift or move or, you know, work in the trades, electricians or contractors or whatnot. They rely on their body to make a living, and if their body's working at a diminished level, then they're going to function at a diminished level.
Exactly. And in the bottom line, it's going to cost them money.
The bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that I like that you do differently, and again, as I said, I mean, I'm somebody who's been going to chiropractic since I was 19, and for those that know, I'm over 50. So it's been a long time. But one of the things that I notice that you do differently, and maybe you can share with all of us as to why, is that we go in and we get a massage first. And I mean, logic tells me that, you know, now my muscles are relaxed, it's going to be a little easier. But is it more than that?
It is, in a way. The massage is soothing on a number of levels. Obviously, the muscles around the spine, if they're tense, it's going to be a lot easier adjustment if we can loosen up those muscles first. I always tell people, as the cookie crumbles inside the body, the stresses that are on our body knock the vertebrae out of position. That misposition of the vertebra pushes on the nerve. Once the brain realizes that that nerve has pressure on it, the only thing the brain can do to protect that area is tighten up the muscles. So if we do a massage or something to loosen up the muscles beforehand, the adjustment is going to go easier as far as the adjustment itself, and also it's going to stay longer, so the vertebra will stay in position. We can adjust people without that if people are in a hurry or they don't have the money for a massage we can't do that. We always encourage people to stretch an ice afterwards. That prevents the vertebra from moving right back out of position. But it certainly helps to have a massage first or do something else. We also have physical therapy that helps loosen up the area that is tight. The adjustment goes a lot easier.
Now, something else I was told when I was young, I was one of those teenagers that adjusted myself all the time. I was constantly cracking my back and stuff, and I thought that I was doing this wonderful thing for myself. And I believe I was told back then, you know, don't keep doing that so often because you're liable to put yourself in a position to where it will come out as easily as you're putting it back in. I mean, explain that. Is that accurate? And if not, sort of explain to me and to everybody why you don't really want to be doing that yourself.
Yeah, and patients ask this question a lot. They are in a yoga class and they're rolling their neck or they're doing a spinal twist and they feel their back pop. And I always let them know, if they did that once a day for the rest of their life, it probably wouldn't cause any problem. In fact, it might have the vertebra into a better position. Unfortunately, what happens is people get into the habit of adjusting their own neck, and they'll do it 7 times an hour. And what happens is the vertebra can move out of position a lot easier if they're doing it multiple times because the joints loosen over time. Every time we do an adjustment, we stretch the ligaments just for a microsecond. But if that microsecond is happening over and over and over, the time tells us that the ligaments are going to loosen up and the vertebrae will be easier to misalign. The other assumption is that when you're doing a pop on your own, you're getting the vertebrae that needs to be gotten. A lot of times when the vertebrae are locked together, they need to contact directly over that area to get that bone to move into the right direction versus randomly whipping your neck and hoping that that vertebra pops into the right place. So in general, I tell people if you just tilt your head over to the side or rotate your neck and you get a pop, that's okay if you do it once a day in the course of just stretching or whatnot. But taking a contact on your chin and your head and pulling your neck to see if you can get it to pop, I try to tell people that that's not a good way to do it because you're probably doing more harm than good. It's a well-intended adjustment.
Well, that's that's good to know. And let's talk a little bit about other forms of healthcare. I mean, where does chiropractic stack up as far as compared to the other forms, be it traditional Western medicine or some of the more ancient Eastern medicines?
That's a great question. And depending on the source and if you include or don't include dentistry as a healthcare profession, some people say, well, that's oral health. It's not overall general health. Chiropractic is third if you include dentistry as far as people plugging in trying to get care. Okay, that's behind traditional medicine and dentistry. Okay, most people do go to the dentist, especially here in the Western world. If you take dentistry out of the equation, then medicine's first, chiropractic is second, although a distant second. About 8% of the population see a chiropractor on a regular basis, and that's a revolving 8%. And unfortunately, that's the case here in the Western world, and that's the world we live in, where the medical establishment has the stranglehold on healthcare right now. But chiropractic as a profession, and when you talk about alternative healings, alternative to the Western medicine and traditional medicine, chiropractic is number one. It's number one in front of acupuncture, in front of homeopathy, naturopathy, massage, and it's the only alternative form of healthcare that's licensed in all 50 states.
Wow. Now, what about therapy like the electronic stim and things like that? And I know that, again, I'm another one that has had that at various injuries over periods of time. Explain a little bit about how it works and why it works.
The electronic stim, which would be considered a physical therapy modality, chiropractic is licensed and trained on how to use the physical therapy modalities to help loosen a tissue or to get extra blood flow or even reduce inflammation. So if somebody overdoes it and has tendonitis in their shoulder, we can use electrical stim, ultrasound, ice, and stretching to help loosen up that injured area and promote better blood flow and promote healing. So the modalities that we can use are much varied. I mean, the use of the laser is gaining strength again. It was used back in the 70s and early 80s. The FDA put a ban on it. They didn't think it was safe. And now with a new generation of cold lasers, they're finding that that's really effective in taking away inflammation and muscle spasms as well. So ultrasound, electrical stim, laser. We also use cupping in our office that helps promote blood flow to an injured area. And all these are to help loosen the area to get blood flow to basically normalize the tissues inside the body.
Okay. Cupping, that's one that I'm not familiar with. Explain what cupping is, and I'm guessing it's not like spooning.
Just a different kitchen utensil. cupping, if people have gone to a acupuncturist, a lot of times they'll be experienced with cupping. Traditionally, they used to put a glass dome over an injured area, and they would light it's almost like a little bit of a firework. It makes a little bit of a smoke and a burning, and it heats up the air and then creates a vacuum inside of that dome that's over an injured area. And what happens is, as that vacuum occurs, the skin will tent up underneath that cup. And by doing that, it's almost like giving the area a hickey, if you will. It'll bring more blood flow to the area, right, and get the bad stuff out of there. Now, some acupuncturists will use that statically. They'll just leave it right there. Others will move it around to help move the fluid out of the area. So chiropractic can use that as well to help promote blood flow. I don't use it as much in my office as I'd like to because of the unsightly spot that it leaves. It leaves a pretty good sized hickey, for lack of a better term, over the area. Now, if people can get over the unsightliness of it and stand on the effects, you know, the effects are really positive.
So have you had any situations to where you had a husband or a wife bring in their spouse saying, really, tell him that you did this with the machine. I wasn't out getting a hickey.
Yeah, and it was their low back, not their neck, that they got the hickey on.
That's right. Well, that could be even more trouble. Well, I want to share with everybody just a little bit about myself that I haven't really spoken about on the air. But I had a severe injury where I fell off a roof. And I herniated two discs in my back. I was told by a orthopedic surgeon that I must have an operation. And the operation, again, this is many years ago, but even then was going to cost about $60,000. And I said at that time, well, you know, I don't know that I really need this. And the surgeon said, I can almost guarantee you that if you do not get this surgery, you will not be able to walk by the time you're 30. And I was 19. And if you're 19 years old and you're looking at the possibility of not being able to walk, it scared the hell out of me.
Sure.
Now, fortunately, I also saw a chiropractor and a physical therapist. And what they ended up saying was that we think we can get you through this without the operation on your low back. But you're going to have to be diligent from the standpoint of your physical therapy, of your chiropractic, and of just maintaining a strong core. You know, you need to get up every morning and exercise. You need to get up every morning and stretch. And at 19, I thought, well, you know, I'm going to try their way first. You know, I can always come and do the operation later, but if I do the operation now, I don't know that I can make that change later. It's right. I can't undo the operation. And at the same time, there were two women that I knew that had similar back injuries. And again, this is late 70s. And they had fusions. Back then, it was right before you could get a laminectomy. And they had fusions. And one of them has since had a total of 5 operations now. But the logic to me, I mean, even as a 19-year-old kid, was if I fuse this together now and I'm 19 and I'm active, isn't it going to cause a stress somewhere else in my body?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So touch on that a little bit as to, you know, just the logic of if you get something done now, it may fix that particular problem. What's it going to do in the future?
Yeah, and looking long term, you're absolutely right. If you fuse two vertebrae together, the only stress is going to fall on the next movable segment. And people are short-sighted in the fact that they think, oh, okay, this fusion is going to fix all my pain. And I've had multiple people come in the office, and they have one, then they have to have another, then they have to have epidural injections. And there's a whole syndrome called failed low back syndrome, you know, where people will have back surgery, and because of the subsequent surgeries after that, they consider it a failure, even though they're trying to manage the best they can. The advent of imaging, such as the MRI, has done a lot so we can see inside the body, almost like a black and white photograph, when we see where the discs are, where the nerves are, where the bones are. Unfortunately, nobody has an MRI done when they're feeling great. It's only when they have severe back pain, and they say, oh, look at their disc bulge. So I would likely suspect that if you had the MRI done right after you fell off the roof and said, hey, here's two bulging discs, you have to have the surgery, it's a crisis. Just like if you sprain your ankle, you're going to have swelling in there. So you had swelling in those discs that were looking like a bulge on the MRI. But through the physical therapy techniques, the stretching, the alignment of the vertebra that were obviously knocked out of alignment when you fell, if we can calm that down, take away the swelling in those discs, if you had an MRI now, it'd likely be a lot different than the one you had when you were 19.
And right.
Unfortunately, people make decisions in a crisis. My back's killing me. I had an MRI. I have a disc bulge. I need to have the surgery. Okay. They don't want to give it the time to let the swelling come down and let the healing happen. And I always try to dissuade people from making a rash decision when they're in a crisis.
Yeah, exactly. And the other point that I found out was the effects of atrophy was that, again, the two women that I knew that had the operation, well, immediately after the operation, they had to have bed rest. So they were doing nothing. So now the atrophy that was affecting the rest of them, you know, at that point, now the core wasn't strong, which I think caused a continuing problem. And from my standpoint, the physical therapist and the chiropractor that said, we can get you through this, they made sure that every day, they said, you know, if you want to get through this every day, you get up and do sit-ups. And you, which again, I didn't know at 19, I thought I was in great shape, and I didn't know that if I don't keep my stomach strong, that my back was going to fail.
Yes, and the ladies who had the multiple back surgeries, you know, bed rest is indicated. You lose about 6% of your muscle strength per day of disuse. And that's why if anybody's ever had a cast on their arm or their leg, they see it in short order. All of a sudden, that cast is real loose. So if you take an area that's been surgically altered and take the muscles supporting that are the secondary supports of any joint, the muscles, and detune those from bed rest, you have a slippery slope. The other side of the coin, at 19 years old, said, gosh, I'm in pretty good shape now. Let's rehab this. Taking steps to make sure that the muscles are strong, and not just because you had fallen off the roof, but making a lifelong goal. You've kept your physique in good shape. You stay active. You stretch. You work out on a regular basis. And these are all things that have to happen. I mean, chiropractic can't bear the whole burden of back pain on its shoulders, and patients have to take an active role in their own care. Keeping your weight down, keeping flexible, keeping the muscles around the spine strong all play a big part. And I can't just do an adjustment and have somebody not do anything on their end and have success.
Well, and you just touched on one thing, which again was one of the things I was told also, which was keeping your weight down. Talk a little bit about that, about just the benefit of being able to keep your weight down and not put additional stress on an area as we get older.
Yeah, and again, with the popularity of food being available everywhere, you know, and people, you know, they're busy, they eat out, you know, 3-4 meals a day, and they put on the weight. For every pound that we put on our frame, it's like adding 2 pounds to your lower back. There's a multiplication factor because of the contact area of the spine. That 1 pound on our frame results in 4 extra pounds on our knees. So if somebody's 10 pounds overweight, it's like putting a 40-pound weight on their knee every step of the way. So over time, they can degenerate. So keeping yourself lean and strong are good to help the joints function as properly as possible, prevent the degeneration.
Well, everybody, you heard it here. Now, what I want to thank the listeners that sent in the questions, and we did get a couple of questions that came in. So I want to start with one, and this person sent one in that says, at the ripe old age of 49, which now that I'm past that is no longer old. No, that's me adding that. That's not what they said here. This says, I find myself experiencing the opposite of what I was led to believe regarding the benefits of running and other activities. My knees and ankles ache constantly, and I am told that I have vertebrae that are compressing, causing sciatic pain in my lower back. It says, I never felt that I overdid any of my exercise, but my doctor tells me that my love of running and the pounding my joints are experiencing from this, quote, healthy activity is the cause of these issues. Do you feel that we should be promoting exercise differently? And what could I have done differently to have prevented these current conditions and still enjoyed running?
That's a good question. There's multiple things to touch on. Depending on the level of running that person initiated, could have been too much, even though in their mind they feel that they're not running that much. The analogy I make to people in my office is using yard tools like a hammer or a shovel and a pickaxe in your backyard. If you're going to dig a trench, if you're not used to doing that kind of work, you're going to get a blister pretty quickly. But if you do a little bit over time, you eventually build up a callus, and you think of running in the same terms. If somebody starts off with just a brisk walk to begin with and allow the tissues to adapt to these stresses, it's almost like a bodybuilder over time building up the muscles versus trying to get those muscles in a week or 2 weeks. So if they initiated the running too quickly, that could be too much stress on those joints, and that can certainly cause pain. As to the compressing of the vertebra, it would have been interesting to see a picture of the spine 2 days before they started running. I would be more than likely to bet that they had some kind of compression happening prior to the running. The running just brought out that flaw. And that certainly from a biomechanical and chiropractic standpoint, if we can get the pressure off that sciatic nerve and get the muscles loosened up, everything's going to function better below that, the hips, the knees, and the ankles. So certainly you want to do something to address that issue. From a standpoint of nutrition that can help, I'm a big fan of a good multiple vitamin, as well as glucosamine and chondroitin, which has been shown to nourish the joints to help put back into not just the knees and the ankles, but also the spine, what we've lost over time.
That's great. And in fact, well, when you mentioned about the glucosamine, and that's one of the things that I do as well for my knees, and it has certainly helped. I'm checking the time now. Let me ask the next question, but then I want to talk a little bit more about, chiropractic and traditional medicine. This person says that I am an avid fan of chiropractic care. I love my doctor who has so greatly helped align my spine and neck these last couple of years. My question is about inversion tables. It says, I just purchased one this summer, and my doctor says he is shocked at how much it has improved my overall condition. He stated that it definitely is making a difference in my alignment. Why is it that we do not hear more about this from the chiropractic professionals? My doctor was speechless when I asked him this question.
Well, I'm a big fan of the inversion tables, and whether you get it from a Big Five Sporting Good, which I had people in my office, they spend just about $200 on an inversion table. And what they are is a bed that you lie on that allows you to remain horizontal if your hands are near your waistline. In order to turn upside down, you just bring your hands up near your head and the table turns you over. What this does is it creates a vacuum inside the discs in between the vertebra and allows the disc to rehydrate. As we're standing upright or sitting upright, gravity is always pushing down on our spine, and it causes the fluid in the disc to leak out a little bit, primarily water. As we get older, our discs have a decreased ability to hold on to that water. So if we can put something back into that by creating that vacuum, that will certainly help the spine. It also creates a little bit of space in between the vertebra. From the chiropractic and also, I guess, medical standpoint, it's been advertised as non-surgical disc decompression. And I'm not a big fan of that just because the marketing tends to surpass the results. People will have a disc bulge and they might be looking down the barrel of surgery, and they charge anywhere between $100 to $150 per session to decompress the spine. I feel that if something is going to be done proactively, they could do an inversion table for a lot less and get the same results. It's just rehydrating the disc and taking the mechanical stress off the spine.
That's great. And I have one as well. So, now, and again, we just have a few minutes left, but let's talk about, if chiropractic has so many advantages, and again, everybody knows, I'm a big proponent of it. Why does it continue to struggle so much against traditional medicine?
Unfortunately, chiropractic has always been a grassroots effort. It's a word of mouth profession. People get satisfied with their chiropractor and they might tell five people or family members to come in, and that person might send one or two people in. And so it's a grassroots effort just from the word of mouth standpoint. Chiropractic lacks leadership at the state and local level. The city's chiropractic association, the county's chiropractic association, state and national. The chiropractic profession itself is pretty splintered. Some chiropractors feel that we just do adjustments, no physical therapy. Others say, no, we should do more of this, and also we should also have the ability to prescribe medications, which I'm against. So you get this wide variety of ways of practice that go away from the original proponents of chiropractic way back in the day.
Okay, but let me interject real quickly. You mentioned that there is a group of them that wants to be able to prescribe medication. Wouldn't chiropractic probably get more positive press because the pharmaceutical companies would now be behind chiropractic? When it comes down to it, pharmaceutical companies are well entrenched with traditional medicine. Would that in the long run help, or would we be kind of going that same slippery slope of them sort of starting to dominate the profession?
Well, I think that if chiropractors were allowed to prescribe medications, pain medications, anti-inflammatory, the big pharmaceutical companies would see us as another vehicle of getting their drugs out, unfortunately. And I'm against that because chiropractic has always stood on the natural side of that, not saying that you're going to take something from outside your body, put it in, and you're going to be healthy. Health in your body comes from the inside out, okay? And that's where chiropractic has stood for all these centuries. From a standpoint of the big pharmaceutical companies, if they could use us and promote commercials, chiropractic has never had a commercial on TV about asking your chiropractor if this will help their pain. But you know, you see the commercials all the time, ask your doctor if this medication will help you. So from the grassroots standpoint, chiropractic has always struggled to gain traction and, you know, convince people that this is a more natural approach, up against the whole face of big pharmaceutical companies spending tens of million dollars a year promoting drugs.
Well, and why not do commercials? I mean, as far as television commercials.
Yeah, it would just be too hard to get this profession that is splintered in the way that we can't even agree on who our leader should be. Should it be just a straight chiropractor that just does adjustments, or the chiropractor that does physical therapy, massage and adjustments, or the chiropractor that feels that they should do limited pharmaceuticals? Who would be the spokesperson for that? For that profession, okay? Most medical doctors will agree that medication is needed, and so there's no conflict within the profession. But I really think if they banded together and did a local TV, or with, let's say if we had a big organization, let's say somebody like Microsoft decided to get behind chiropractic to promote it, we would certainly flourish and maybe even surpass medical doctors for the patient care and satisfaction.
I'll call Bill Gates and see if I can make that happen. I'm sure he's got time for my call. Tom, thank you so much. The time has flown by. Unfortunately, we are out of time, but thank you so much. And again, if anybody, if you have more questions, and actually you can email him at drduddy@gmail.com, or again, go to the website www.drduddy.com and send your questions in there. Now, if you're driving and you couldn't write that down, you can always go to the Answers for the Family site. It's www.answers4thefamilyblog.com. Send us your question. We'll forward it to Tom. Tom, thanks again so much.
Alan, I appreciate your time, and thank you so much for having me on your show.
All right. Take care.
You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk, right here on LA Talk Radio.